wake on up.
Wake up, wake up, wake up.
With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh! The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man.
Oh,
on 95.7, the game.
On the ground. We'll see. That's a fitting way for this game and this series to come to an end.
Well, every time the Giants kind of got a nice situation, it felt like either a double play ball, a line drive right at someone, or a pop out. They're getting a lot of walks. They're putting up decent at-bats, getting themselves in position, and just not able to get that break the ice and break it open. They had some opportunities, but Justin Verlander, what an amazing outing. Got to see Carson Seymour make his Major League debut, but this one's going to be frustrating, and it's a tough loss versus a team you think you're going to, you know, come out and get a series and get going.
Yeah. Thanks, Hunter. That was a tough one. Dave Fleming, Hunter Pence at the call, NBC Sports Bay Area. And Shasky, I told you on Friday, what did I tell you? I said, don't you dare lose this series to the Chicago White Sox. Don't you dare. And what did they go out and do in the South Side? They lost the series to a team that has twice as many losses as they do wins. They are 28-56, the Chicago White Sox. And you go in there with that futile offense and do that against that team where I look at the names. I mean, Mike Tauchman, the guy that you were too good for years ago.
Hey, Joe.
I thought he was out of the league. He got 281, had three hits against you. Austin Slater comes in, and what does he do? He scores a run yesterday. He gets a hit. Just Giants or former Giants. I had former Athletics out there. Ryan Noda, who? Like the guy that's Andrew Benintendi. Is like their most recognizable player. And he hasn't done anything in like 5 or 6 years. Joe, I'm frustrated if I'm a Giants fan waking up today. And you know what? I don't want to be frustrated because the vibes are immaculate today behind the scenes. The producers are feeling good. Carter and Sarah are feeling good. We're feeling good. We have a lot of smiles on our faces here on a Monday. But that performance yesterday, and what should have been a win for Justin Verlander, I felt like he pitched well enough to get his first win of the season, and he's still searching for it. They've gotten Rafi Devers, and they've somehow gotten worse. How, Joe?
I don't know. I've tried to stay as patient as I possibly can. Maybe I just fell victim to the first month of the season, or I guess really like the first 2 or 3 weeks of the season, and they got off to such a great start, and it's been basically 500 or under 500 ball since then. But the reality is that everyone's going to scream and yell about runners in scoring position. And they're not wrong. Like, how many times this team has failed to deliver the big hit? I would just say this. Since Friday the 13th, the night that they played the Dodgers, where Casey Schmidt hit that home run, and they completely out-hit and out-slugged the Dodgers. I'm going to go backwards, okay? They've been out-hit. Of the 15 games, they've been out-hit, meaning they've given up more hits than they've actually accrued. 12 of the 15 games. 12 of the 15 games. Now, look, there's situational hitting, and that's extremely important, and driving in runs, and executing, and not getting doubled off of, you know, third base, Brett Wisely on Saturday, or getting picked off of first base on Friday night. There's a lot of situational baseball. Right now, they're just failing to deliver. But they have been out hit again of the 15 games since that Friday night win. Maybe the best pitch game of Logan Webb's career. They've been out hit 12 of the 15 games. And so to me, this isn't just about situational hitting. It's about the inability to out hit the other team. And we're talking about, again, the Dodgers, I can live with that series. Like, I get it. It's the Dodgers. They're an unbelievable team. The Guardians?
Yeah.
The Guardians? The lowly Red Sox? The Marlins?
Marlins won 7 in a row, by the way.
I get that, but the White Sox?
They're the worst. They're the worst, literally the worst team in the
if
American League.
If I polled however many baseball fans around baseball right now, and I said to you, hey, the Guardians, the White Sox, and the Marlins, as well as the Red Sox, are going to out-hit you for 2 weeks straight, you'd be like, there's just, what? Who? Like, how many people can name 4 people in either lineup?
I can't. Unless I do this for a living. And the Chicago White Sox the Talkmans, the Slaters, the afterthoughts that was the San Francisco Giants. I just mentioned it. Andrew Benintendi is probably the most recognizable player, Joe. Andrew Benintendi, at his best, was what? A 7-8 hitter on the Boston Red Sox championship team?
Yeah.
Right? Like, come on, man. Like, that just can't happen. And again, I'm frustrated for Justin Verlander. I'm frustrated for Robbie Ray. Like, I'm frustrated for these guys that go out there and they're delivering and they're not getting any support at the plate. You know, Willie Adames, it hasn't worked. Let's just call it what it is. It's June 30th. We're almost in July. It's been a bust right now.
You know
what? It just is.
You're going to say that, and you're not wrong per se, but this last week, he's been way better than he's been all year.
Again.
In terms of batting average and like actually seeing it. Now, that being said, you just throw this guy a slider away, and he's going to be swinging out of his shoes.
I saw him get tied up on a sinker in the middle of the plate at 92 miles an hour yesterday for a strikeout. I don't know what he was looking for. It was right there. Rafi Devers, 3 strikeouts yesterday, Joey.
I think he's 10 for 46.
Not good enough. Not good enough. And again, we knew it might have been, you know, an adjustment for Devers, so I'm not here to crush the guy. That signing was a lot about much more than this season and then going forward in the next couple seasons, but right now it's just not good enough. Jung-Hoo Lee, we've mentioned it ad nauseum. Batting 243 now. Was he batting like 300 a month ago, it felt like? Close to it? And it's been that bad. I don't know what the answer is for Jung-Hoo Lee. Like, if Christian Koss, God love the guy, is putting together the best at-bats for this offense, it's a problem.
They had 16 hits over the weekend. He had 6 of them.
There you go. Christian Koss.
It's not
it's not sustainable. It's just not sustainable.
Not sustainable. That's not winning baseball.
No.
You're just not going to win. And yesterday, I want to get right to this guy, Jung-Hoo Lee. You know, it's great when everyone's dressed in the outfits and they look a certain way out in the field. And Jung-Hoo Lee, the chants are
going
on.
The Jung-Hoo crew.
Like, that stuff's all fine and dandy. You do have to produce. And if he didn't have a multi-year contract, we'd be talking about sending this guy down to AAA. Defensively, he's excellent. I think he's an excellent defender. But offensively, he's been atrocious. He's 6 for his last 56. And yesterday, with no outs, he shows up in the bases-loaded situation and grounds into a double play. And then later on, pops up with, you know, opportunities to drive in runs. It's just, he is trying to pull the ball nonstop. And look, I'm open to hearing all the criticisms today from Giants fans. I've heard from reliable people that I trust who are around this team that in pregame warmups, batting practice, whatever you want to call it, Willie Adames and Jung-Hoo Lee are at the cage, and whoever's working with them, whether it's Matt Williams, whether it's Pat Burrell, when it's a homestand, I hear Bonds is there a lot. That's what I've heard. I've heard Bonds is there a lot during the homestands. They're going the other way. But in the games, these guys can't adjust. The other guy who I think we need to bring up, Wilmer Flores. The bottom has fallen out on Wilmer. And right now, he looks sluggish, to say the least. Both Wilmer and Jung-Hoo Lee need 10-day IL stints just to, like, reset their minds and their mentals. Wilmer Flores is 9 for his last 48. And just not driving the ball. He's really your only situational hitter right now, outside of Christian Koss, which is crazy.
I know.
And he's been awful. But the Jung-Hoo Lee thing, I think, is a big one. This guy, they've tried him at the top of the order. They tried him in the middle of the order. They tried him at the bottom of the order. They're searching right now. I mean, you're batting Mike Yastrzemski in the cleanup spot.
Mm.
Mike Yastrzemski is going to bat leadoff, or he's going to bat way down in the lineup. They've tried everything. I'm not mad at Bob Melvin. Because guys have to perform. When you step into that batter's box, as I told you, these guys are working on going the other way in pregames and things like that. Something has to give, though. And at some point, there needs to be accountability for the players that are out there on the field. The Adames, Wilmer, Jung-Hoo Lee, these guys are not performing right now. There's just no other way around it. And I truly believe that either they need to move Jung-Hoo Lee, they need to IL stint him, drop him to AAA, give him multiple days off. They're in trouble. They are in trouble. I am officially hitting the panic button.
Shout out to those watching on YouTube, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing Leader. Panic button from Joe Shasky.
No, I am. And the reason
the Giants already?
Here's why I'm doing it. Look,
I mean,
what are they? 5-6 games over 500 right now?
Yeah.
They started off what 8-1, 9-1,
something like that.
Okay,
so 6 games over currently.
Okay, so they're basically under 500 since then.
1.5 back from the third wild card spot.
Remember where we were when they DFA'd Lamont Wade? We were down bad, yeah. And that worked for about a week. Okay. Since then, we're down bad again. They're so bad right now. We're all pining for Casey Schmidt to come back, who was someone you didn't trust 3 weeks ago.
Not only Casey Schmidt, they desperately need Matt Chapman.
There's no doubt. But the Willy Adames thing, like, look, the reality is they dramatically overpaid. Maybe one day he finds a way to somehow salvage the contract, but $180 million player, he is not. He's a really good guy. I don't know what vibes are worth. I don't know what clubhouse leadership is worth. It's certainly not at the batter's box. He's not a $180 million player. He's just not.
Well, and it was funny you say that because Hunter Pence was on the broadcast yesterday on NBC Sports Bay Area, a guy that's synonymous with what? Positivity,
yeah.
Clubhouse guy, all of that. But eventually, Hunter Pence, what did he do at the plate? He produced.
Mm-hmm.
He was a good player. So I don't know how much. And how much can you even stay positive if you're a guy like Willy Adames? I know it's easy enough for us to say, oh, he's making all this money, he's struggling, the least he could do is be a positive presence. It's asking a lot when you're struggling to do your job correctly and still being positive about it. In any walk of life, whether it's us, whether it's baseball, whether it's a police officer, fireman, like, if you're struggling, it's hard to have a smile on your face all the time. And, you know, you hope that for Willy, it eventually clicks. And, yeah, it's been a little bit better. He was batting, like, 190 at one point, so the fact that he's batting what right now? He's batting 209. It's an improvement, albeit when you look at June 30th, we're about to start July, and he's batting 209, and he's your second highest paid player on the roster. Yeah, it leaves you scratching your head if you're a Giants fan. I want to hear from the Giants fans today, 888-957-9570.
Are you panicking like I am? Because I am panicking. Like, look, the objective for me is...
How could you not, I guess I would ask, how could you not panic about this team at this point? You're 6 games over 500, but it felt like just a couple weeks ago, like after the Devers trade, we were talking maybe legit playoff contenders, Joe. Like, that's just not anyone saying that. We had Keith Law, MLB insider for The Athletic. Dave Fleming, I know he's the voice of the Giants. I know, you know, he kind of spins and skews toward the Giants, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But Dave's no dummy. He said that knowing full well
yeah.
what he was saying when it came to the pitching staff, when it came to some of the big names there. Like, there was legit optimism just a couple weeks ago. This could be a legit playoff contender. And now there's questions, can they even make the playoffs? That's a legit question mark right now.
I mean, Justin Verlander probably had his best start of the year.
Yes, without a doubt.
I know that he got hit hard early in that game.
Some loud outs.
But I thought he adjusted. I was going to come in here today, like, if he, you know, got sent out of that game quickly and be like, hey, look, throwing in the rain like they were is difficult for both pitchers. But I thought he rebounded really well, and I thought he finally got control of that slider, and you saw a different version of him. Once he got past that third inning, I thought he was in cruise control. I thought he did a great job yesterday. And then they had the major league debut of a young man I'd never heard of until yesterday. So that was cool. But then there's like Ryan Walker, right? And then we get to Ryan Walker and
Carson.
You know, Sam, I love you. No, I do. I love you, Sam, because I love how like passionate you get about the team. But I heard Sam all offseason, and he's not alone. He's not alone. I'm using him as a vehehicle.
Scapegoat.
No, I'm using you as a vehicle to explain something. Just bear with
Orange
me
Orange and black, weekend
wrap. I'm guilty of this, too. It's not just Sam. They were out of it for about 6 weeks last year at the end of the year, give or take. You could say mathematically eliminated basically by September 1. Ryan Walker did his best work in the final 6 weeks of the season last year. I'm not saying those weren't big games for him. But what I am saying is that it's really difficult for me moving forward to see a team bow out that late in the season and say anything that a guy does in the final 6 weeks is going to be transferable to the next offseason, to the next year.
You're telling me it's as much as transferable as the Warriors' mop-up duty in Game 5 against the Rockets?
That's exactly it.
And if that can translate to the next game in Game 6. Sorry,
it's not just
I have
that.
A laugh still
it's
about
not just
that
Ryan
one.
Walker. Who was the third baseman? David Villar?
Yeah.
Came up a couple years ago and had a monster start. I mean, Tyler Fitzgerald had, what was it, 3 weeks?
Fitzy. Looked like Barry Bonds.
Look, the reality is that Ryan Walker is completely mentally shot right now. Is he another guy? I don't trust him at all. And there has to be something to be said regarding his delivery. And I know that that was, oh, it's an intoxicating delivery. When you talk to basic people who understand the fundamentals of pitching, when your feet are staggered the way that his are and the way that you throw across the body, it's going to be very unorthodox. And the way that his setup is, all right, A, it's impossible to pick off properly because your feet are staggered. You're not in an athletic stance. All right, so you're not going to be able to throw over to first base. And then B, your landing area, you're coming across your body. There's no wonder he balked multiple times.
Well, I love that you used intoxicated because it immediately balks. Like, yeah, that's what it felt like. It felt like the guy was rumbling,
short-circuited on the mound.
And the mound was obviously, there was rain, it was wet.
I don't want to hear
but
it.
But I'm just saying.
He's had multiple situations this year, whether it's been a perfect mound or a crummy mound, that he does not look comfortable stepping off or delivering the pitches.
The fact of the matter is, you got bullied against the White Sox. Like, it's as simple as that.
Ryan Walker, right now. No, things could change 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now. Right now, I trust him the least of anyone coming out of that bullpen.
Wow, I'm not saying something. By the way, we are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk, Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. All of a sudden...
And then Melvin left him out there.
Well, the Bob Melvin question right now.
Bob Melvin left him out there. I'm like, go get the guy. He's done. And bases loaded. I was like, every one of these guys is scoring. And they did.
So Joe Shasky has his panic meter. Where's it at right now? If it's like 0 to 100, where's their panic meter?
Somewhere in the 75, 80 range.
That's pretty big. That's like a B-minus right there when it comes to the panic.
Look, I just want to make the playoffs. Like, I really want to make the playoffs. And I'm thrilled that we got Devers. He's another one. Plate discipline. Him and some of these other guys, they are going to throw you nothing but off-speed and breaking balls away all day. You have got to be more patient. And this team desperately misses the patience of Matt Chapman. Yes, Matt Chapman strikes out a ton. There's no doubt about it. He also draws a lot of walks, and they really miss him in the middle of this lineup. Big time. I can't believe I'm saying it.
Well, they got another desperate team they're playing up against in the desert this time, against the D-backs, who have lost four in a row. They've lost their best player, Corbin Carroll, so they need to get things back on track. They just got swept against the Miami Marlins, who came in and, you know, just owned the Giants before that, who swept the Giants, obviously. So the Marlins are red hot. They do that to the D-backs. So Giants, D-backs, four-game set starting today. And by the way, we got former manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks and current broadcaster with the team, Bob Brenly, former Giant as well, obviously. And he knows Bob Melvin very well because Bob Melvin was a coach on his World Series champion staff, Joe, in Arizona, back in 2001. So we'll ask his thoughts on Bob Melvin, about the D-backs, about the Giants, what he sees from afar. Bob Brenly joining us at 8:30 plus this or that in the 9 o'clock hour. And also happening today, Joe, some big basketball stuff is going to be going down in the NBA. It already has, but officially starting today, 3 o'clock West Coast time, free agency in the NBA is officially upon us. The big news over the weekend, the Warriors officially tendering the $7.9 million qualifying offer to Jonathan Kuminga, setting the stage for his restricted free agency. Kuminga is expected to decline the qualifying offer, and again, he'll become a restricted free agent. And what will he command out there amongst the other teams? We got LeBron James talking as well. Could LeBron James be on the move in what could be his final season? Again, we've been saying this, and what could be LeBron's final season in the NBA? So we got that to get to at some point. So we would love your conversation today, though, in regards to the Giants early on here.
Joe,
do you have a panic meter, Giants fans? And if so, what's it at right now? 0 to 100, I'm going to give you. 888-957-9570.
59-38. What are those numbers?
59-38.
59-238. That's the amount of hits the Marlins and the White Sox got against you in back-to-back series and the amount of hits you got.
That's bad. I thought that
you almost got doubled up.
I thought that was like strike-to-ball ratio from the bullpen or something like that. That's awful. I told you on Friday, Joe.
Six-game series.
I told you this on Friday. Don't lose to the White Sox because you are going to be panicking. You are. And what did they do yesterday? They panicked. The whole team's panicking right now. They're pressing.
They're averaging giving up 10 hits a game, 9.5 hits a game to the Marlins and the White Sox. So it's not just the hitting that has been lackluster. I mean, trust me, it has been. I think you put way too much pressure. What this reminds me of, this is a classic situation. You know when like a defense is really, really good, but the offense, and playing on football, the offense is so putrid, eventually the dam breaks and the defense is garbage because they've been out on the field for way too long.
Oh, yeah.
And then you get to like week 13, week 14, and they're just done. Yep. The defense is just done. They're not the same. They were a really good defense, an elite defense, but the offense was so futile that the defense finally just the dam broke. That is what has happened to the Giants pitching staff currently. They are so, they've got to be psychologically screwed in the head right now. Like, they're not pitching well, but I believe that they were carrying this team for so long that the bats have yet to complement them and arrive at any point this year that the pitching is just, it's hit a wall. Pitching has hit a wall, and at no point have the bats come to rescue them.
And it's a good point, and I'd say, like, they're always going to say the starting pitchers, the bullpen, oh, those guys pick us up and we need them to, so we'll be picking up right now. But it's got to be frustrating if you're Verlander was
pacing in the dugout yesterday. I felt bad for him.
If you're Robbie Ray, if you're Logan Webb, and Logan Webb's dealt with this throughout his career, right? But it doesn't get any more frustrating than what's going on right now in San Francisco. We want to hear from the people. Sandy, Leroy, we'll get to you on the other side. What's coming up with the game is brought to you by Ceremony
the
Ford.
Approach.
888-957-9570. A massive, massive stretch here coming up for the Giants. So they're going up against two teams that are going to be under 500. But as we've mentioned, that doesn't mean anything, as you just lost to the team that has twice as many losses than they do wins against the White Sox. So you got the D-backs coming up a four-game set.
It's just huge. This is huge.
And then you got the A's in Sacramento. Like, if your offense doesn't get going in that ballpark where everyone's just dominating the A's, where Luis Severino has like a 10 ERA, then you might as well pack up the rest of the season.
And then you got the Phillies and you got the Dodgers to end the break. I'm telling you, this team is teetering right now and could be cooked before the All-Star break if they don't wake up.
You know what's not teetering? The Morning Roast, Spadoni and Chaska, 95.7 The Game, baby. Come on back. Playing well.
I'm not feeling good.
Oh, you're not? Okay, I'm feeling
good. I'm in a good mood because this is like mail it in week of the year for me.
Jesus. You don't say that.
No, I admit it out loud. So all you people going into work are thinking the same thing.
You're the Postmaster General? You're mailing it in?
Kevin Costner, the postman.
Oh, God.
But here's what I would say. For those that are teaching youth players, I understand I'm not some pitching guru. I'm not Greg Maddux. But I've worked with people like Bill Lasky, for example, who I've helped coach around San Francisco, who has worked with some of our young guys and other guys that have pitched at a high level. There are certain mechanics that, to me, you can't debate. There are certain fundamentals that, When I explain them to you, you're going to understand.
How tall is Bill? He's a big guy, right?
The tree is huge.
Yeah, okay.
Like 6'6".
Oh, his tree's huge.
But like he'll tell these guys, like, there's a reason the fundamentals are the fundamentals, all right? It's the foundation for what makes things successful, and they've been around for 150 years for a reason. That doesn't mean that there aren't new ways of doing it, but you see a lot of guys in the bigs will make it to the bigs with unorthodox mechanics, and the example is always, well, they can get rid of that. You know, they've gotten away with it, and this is what makes them unique. And look, I listen to that, but Ryan Walker is a great example. When you come set on the mound, okay, you don't want to come set with your feet too close together, okay? Because if they're too close together, when you go to step off and throw over to first base, you don't have a great athletic base to be able to throw from, right? When you come set and your hands are down to your waist, all right, and you go to throw over or you go to separate, you're A, showing the ball and the type of pitch that's coming in, if guys can identify that, and the grip that you're giving. So you want to come chest high. Why? Because you're going to separate chest high, and you'll be able to get rid of the ball quicker on a pickoff and on a delivery to home. Ryan Walker does like seven things fundamentally not sound. Mm. His feet are staggered, so he's not in an athletic stance. He brings the glove all the way down below his crotch, so he's releasing and getting rid as ball separates from glove way too low. And then he's throwing across his body. All of these things make it very difficult for him to repeat his mechanics. Hence why, when he gets mechanically out of whack, he short circuits, like him balking yesterday and balking in a run. And so he's not alone. Like, Camilo Duvall cannot do a slide step, all right? That is a fundamental issue with Camilo Duvall. He mechanically gets out of whack and can't throw strikes. And this goes back to, there is an era of pitchers that are out there right now who are throwers and not pitchers. And I just go back to someone like Ryan Walker, who's, he's nasty. Yeah, when he's on, when everything is going right. But when he's just a little off, he completely short circuits. And right now, the guy's completely short circuited. Now, I'm not saying he needs to ditch all of his mechanics and go back to scratch. There is clearly something that has got him to where he's at. But right now, this guy is, I have zero confidence in Ryan Walker. Now, he's not the end-all be-all, but Bob Melvin, do you not realize that the guy is short-circuiting? Go out to the mound, get him out of there. Like, go out to the mound, slow things down, get somebody warmed up in the bullpen, go back in there, get him out. Get him out of there.
In about 2 hours from now, we're going to have former manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks, Bob Brenly, joining us. Former Giants player, obviously, played with Bob Mel and Bob Melvin, obviously, on Brenly's coaching staff back in 2001, where the Arizona Diamondbacks shocked the world, winning a World Series as the Giants start a four-game set in Arizona starting tonight. A massive series, to say the least, for both these squads. Both these squads struggling mightily. This could be the difference between, you know, being a playoff contender and getting out of it prior to the All-Star break as the Giants finish up a road trip this weekend in Sacramento. And then, as you mentioned, a massive homestand taking on the likes of the Philadelphia Phillies and the Dodgers, which, if I was going to guess right now, that might be the NLCS matchup right now on June 30th, if I was going to guess. So, yes, you got to take care of business, especially against this squad coming up. But again, I say that, like, how can I even assume that they can take care of business? I can't. Can you just get a split right now, Joe, is what I'm asking. Can you just get a split?
This team right now has some guys that are so stubborn at the plate. Look, we can argue about coaching. Like, we can argue about it. I personally believe that these guys need to adjust. Willy Adames, we know it's a slider away or a changeup away. Like, either lay off of it or go the other way. Look, Jung-Hoo Lee, stop swinging at everything and trying to pull everything in the air. Slap something the other way. Like, this is basic baseball 101. Doggy, you're lunging and you're trying to pull everything. He popped up to the shortstop yesterday, and I just, oh, God.
Are you pulling out your panic meter, Giants fans? 888-957-9570.
Why is he getting thrown out at third base with Devers? It's second and third with no outs. Second, third. Where are you going? It's a power hitter at the plate. This is what I would say if I'm third base coach. Hey, doggy, nowhere to go. We got our best hitter up. Worst thing that can happen right now is you getting picked off. You're going to tag no matter what. Make sure it gets through. Make sure it gets through. You're tagging no matter what. Freeze on a liner. Don't get too far off the base. Worst thing that can happen right now is you getting picked off. And what happens? Devers swings and misses. Strike three. Back pick. Bang. Inning over, basically. Rally killed. Momentum over. Just awful, awful, awful fundamentals.
Sandy, San Francisco. 888-957-9570. Sandy, you pulling out your panic meter on the Giants? Sandy!
This is really irritating. I'm irritated from the management to the pitchers. We get bases loaded and we can't score. We paying these guys a ton of money. Willy Adames, he's all excited. He's all over the place. But you're not hitting anything. What is going on?
I don't know.
I don't hear anything coming from Buster. He's making all these deals, but nobody's doing anything. Our pitching sucks. We can't do anything. I'm sitting here watching the game. I'm bored. I want to go watch the games live, but they're not giving me any incentive for me to want to go out there other than to eat.
I know.
But not to, you know, it's just frustrating.
I know.
It's a great call.
I've been a Giants fan for a long time.
How long, Sandy?
Really sad.
How long have you been a Giants fan?
Oh, my God. Since 1979.
Wow, look at you.
I remember going out to the ballpark, Candlestick, freezing my butt off, nothing happening. But I love the game, and I loved them. I believed in them.
Yeah,
we got three World Series, but we haven't done anything. We can't even get Barry Bonds into the Hall of Fame. It's just insane.
Thank you, Sandy.
Thanks, Sandy.
And you know what? She said it right there. It's like, I'm bored watching this team. Like, why would I want to pay my money to go see that team right now? And I get it. Everyone's going to go to the games because it's a fun place to be. The ballpark's exceptional, all of that. But you got to give the fans something to cheer for right now, and they're just not, Joe. All that goodwill you built up with that Devers, you know, signing, feels like it's gone out the window. Does it not? Even with Buster right now, I don't think he's above reproach. Like, your two highest paid players, they're not contributing right now.
No.
And again, I mean, it's not the end-all, be-all. It's a short sample size, but my God. Like, it's got to start with them at some point. I can't be relying on Yastrzemski. I can't be relying on Wilmer Flores. Christian Koss, of all people, who had 6 hits over the weekend, you said? 6 hits?
Yeah.
Like, he's my best hitter right now, and that's a problem. And I'm getting my ass kicked against the Mike Tauchmans of the world, who you thought you were too good for. Like,
the at-bat for me that yesterday just broke me. Bases loaded, and they seal a strike on the top pitch, like a high fastball, if you will. It's Jung-Hoo Lee. Jung-Hoo Lee is... Antarctica thinks Jung-Hoo Lee is cold right now. Like, that's how bad he is, all right?
It's pretty cold.
And this guy pulls out the 9-iron to swing at a ball that was going to hit him in the back of the foot and pops up to the shortstop. And at that point, I said, this guy needs a week off. Or they need to drop. If he didn't have a multi-year deal, will we not be talking about bringing up someone to play center field?
Yeah, probably. And
his defense is fine. His offense is so bad. They tried him at the top of the order. They tried him at the 3 spot. They tried him in the 4 spot. They tried him in the 6-7 spot. Look, I'll give Bob Melvin this. He's searching for a lineup combination. I don't agree with Yastrzemski batting cleanup. That is a whole nother, separate thing. But they've tried everything. The professional players, Adames, even Devers needs to adjust. Stop swinging at the breaking balls. Like, it's driving me insane. They are throwing soft stuff away. And until every team in the league is going away on our pitching staff, yet the Giants just have to pull everything. It's the only guy on the team right now, outside of occasionally Ramos, is Wilmer Flores, who's willing to be a situational hitter. That's it. It's so frustrating.
888-957-9570. The Giants lose a series to the Chicago freaking White Sox, the worst team in the American League. How does that make you feel, Giants fans? As just a couple weeks ago, Devers was the big signing. It was the big talk of all Major League Baseball. All eyes were focused on you. And since then, the team's been struggling mightily. Devers has not been producing. Adames, I guess a little bit better, but still not where you need him to be. No Matt Chapman, at least for the next few weeks, I would assume. Again, how important is Matt Chapman? Well, we're finding out how important Matt Chapman is, both offensively and defensively with the squad. You can't be having the base running errors, the lack of fundamentals, as you've mentioned, with the Ryan Walkers, the Brett Wiseleys of the world, and expect to win games when the offense has been this bad. It's non-becoming of a team that you expect to take seriously as a wild card contender. Wild card teams don't do this. They don't.
I hear you on Chapman. And look, they're not... They're also not, like, they're missing Casey Schmidt as well, which is crazy. And he was hitting the ball really well. It is sad to me that, like, Chapman goes down for a couple weeks and the bottom falls out.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, really?
He's not, I'm going to say this.
He's a really good player.
He's not a Shohei Ohtani. He's not Mookie Betts. He's not Freddie Freeman at the plate. You guys shouldn't be struggling this mightily without him.
I can't argue with you.
It should not be happening.
And I really like Matt Chapman.
Let's pick this up on the other side. Leroy's in Oakland, Richie in Queens.
I want to hear from those guys.
They got their panic meter. They are diehard Giants fans. Hell, we got Sandy, who's been a 46-year... Did I do my math right?
46-79? Saturday broke
46-year veteran when it comes to being a Giants fan. Said they're boring.
Joe, Saturday, the back pick on Brett Wisely, second and third with no outs after Devers swings and misses, was, oh my God.
It broke Shaska. We'll try to put the pieces back together.
And this is why I wanted Will Venable as my coach.
Already? Oh, come on. Bill Mel, like, they're 28-56. Will Venable? What?
Will Venable managed that series like he wanted to be the Giants.
He had
manager.
One of the worst seasons in the history of the baseball last year, Joe. What do you say? Well, Mark Kotze next?
I did want him, though.
You wanted Stephen Vogt. That's who you wanted.
No, I don't. I don't really like Stephen Vogt.
What? Why don't you like Stephen Vogt?
I mean, like, I like him, but I don't. Whatever.
I believe in Stephen Vogt like I do Harvey Dent. How about that? That's what's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good. In Ballhalla.
I thought they were on the road yesterday. They were wearing black jerseys. They were at home?
No, they were at home.
Oh, because I saw...
Steph was at the game yesterday,
I had the
Joey.
Game on mute because we were all in the living room talking and the little guy was playing. They were wearing the black jerseys and they're playing a team from Seattle that had what looked like the colorways of the old Supersonics.
Well, I love that they did that when the Supersonics obviously left. They went to Oklahoma City, but they kept that. They got the Space Needle symbol. They got that. I always just think of Sue Bird when I think of the Seattle Storm, obviously. Oh, she was playing there for so long. But I'm a sucker for the green and gold when it's the Packers, A's... the Seattle Storm, the Supersonics. It's just a great color combination.
It is. Well, the A's have it as well.
Exactly.
USF. Yep. But no, it what to me reminds me of that those jerseys is Detlef Schrempf.
Oh, of course.
See, I'm a little older, and Sean Kemp, a.k.a. the Rain Man.
Sean Kemp as well.
The glove.
Well, Kevin Durant for a year, lest you forget.
Oh, I remember.
Do you?
Somewhere my boy Guido's punching the air because I told him Kevin Durant, after like maybe 6 or 7 weeks in the season, would be an all-time legend. Oh, and he said he's too skinny, and we debated about Durant from the beginning.
You and Colin Coward, right? Didn't bench press enough?
It's back in the video game era, so I would do like franchises and 2K. You know, you draft your guys, and I would always pick Durant right away. He's like, he's not that good. Guido, I was right and you were wrong.
I love Guido. I would love Guido's participation if he's listening at 888-957-9570. Brought to you by Golden State.
I know what Guido wouldn't do. Get picked off a third with no outs and your best hitter at the plate up.
Well, he might. Serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. We got former manager, Bob Brenly, join us at 8:30, and obviously former San Francisco Giant. I would like to discuss Bob Melvin with him, too, and what a manager could do right now when the offense is struggling. You're missing some of your key pieces. You just made a huge trade. You're trying to stay in it. And you mentioned something. As we're talking about the Golden State Valkyries, I think they've captured the audience here in the Bay Area.
So
they've done a great job of capturing the audience, have they not?
Last night, there's not a lot of stuff on television.
There's not.
Right? And so we're in the living room. Like I said, we're, you know, winding down, if you will, as he's doing the goofy hours. And we're all just talking, me, my wife, the little guy, and I got the game on. And we're just watching the game. We're just watching the game. Why? Because there's not a lot else on. And
I'm bored.
And the Valkyries are fun. I'm a huge Cade Martin fan. I just think she's a dog. I love watching her play. I think she's way tough as nails. And all I kept thinking about while I was watching that, Joe, was as the Giants continue to skid and skid and skid, my, you know, increase of watching Valkyries games is going to go up higher and higher and higher. And then I start thinking about, well, there's a lot of NBA action happening right now. This is the time where if the Warriors make a move, they're going to go right to the front of our thought process right now. And that's what we're going to think about. And if the Giants keep losing and losing and losing, where are they going to go? They're going to go farther down the pecking order in terms of how I think about them on a minute-by-minute, day-by-day basis. And I'm not alone in that.
No.
This is the time right now where the Giants should be taking care of business and having a 10, 11, 12 games above 500 spot. Like, they should be battling to try to... Like, it's so frustrating.
Give me the drop again, Carter. That was Sandy in San Francisco.
I'm bored.
That's a lifelong Giants fan saying, I'm bored watching this
game. They've been out hit 59-38. Out hit against the Marlins and the White Sox.
It's unacceptable. It is. And I know who's really pissed off about it. It's Leroy in Oakland.
What's up, Leroy?
Leroy, good morning. You have your panic meter out for the Giants, Leroy?
Yes, it's right where Buster Posey's panic meter was. At 100, because he panicked and brought in Devers. What was the problem? We were winning. What were you trying to do? Keep up with the Dodgers? Oh, we got to, because of the Dodgers. No, it was because of the San Francisco Giants that you should not have made this move, because nothing was wrong. We were winning. I had a bet with Steiny. I said, hey, we're going to win this division. You want to bet? Yeah, I wanted to bet. And then we bring in Devers, and now look at us. And I'm just like, man, nothing was wrong, Posey. All we needed was to bring in like a left-hand pitcher. We needed a pitcher, not a bat. And so I'm just like, Posey, come on, man. And then I'm looking at Pat Burrell, and now I'm looking at JT Martinez, our pitching coach, and now we're looking at people we shouldn't be looking at. I'm looking at Posey, where it was nothing but Posey all week. Oh, how great he is. Oh, great. Now I'm hearing crickets. No Posey. And it shouldn't even be at this point. And I just think he kind of panicked. So I'm where Posey is. I'm at 100. And I'm just like, we got to get this thing together. But I'm keeping my fingers crossed. Wait. But, man, I am panicking like crazy, guys.
Real quickly, Leroy, stay on.
Yeah.
You didn't like the Devers signing because you thought they should have gone after a pitcher instead?
I did, because I just didn't think anything was wrong before we got him. Like, we were just rolling. The chemistry was there. And I just thought we were looking at the Dodgers kind of too early. Like, we got to keep up with them. We got to get a bat because of the Dodgers. And I'm like, no, look at our team. Look at our chemistry. Look how we're rolling. We didn't need that at the time. And I just... Man, I mean, I like him. I mean, he's a bat and everything, but it wasn't broke, so why try to fix it in that
way? Yeah, thank you, Leroy. I'd argue the offense has been broke. Like, that's where I disagree. The offense needed a jolt. And now Devers, has he lived up to the snuff right now? No, he hasn't. But they needed that bat, more so than needed Harrison and Jordan Hicks. Those guys weren't contributing. They weren't doing anything for this team. They weren't affecting wins and losses. Yeah, I do that deal 10 times out of 10, twice on Sunday, even if it doesn't work out going forward. I still do that deal.
Yeah, but it's also a long time. I'll defend the move. Yeah. It was a long-term move that they needed
Correct.
To make. They had to do it, and I think you do it 99 out of 100 yes. times. Yes. Maybe even 100 out of 100 times, but I'll respectfully disagree with him on that one. They needed to make that move. Look, Hicks wasn't helping you at all.
No.
Literally not helping you at all. And Kyle Harrison, I think, is a couple years away.
Yeah.
Even if you like him, like I think that's a fair point of view. This team needed an everyday power hitter. Bad. And as ugly as it's looked early on, look, Joe, it has not looked great. He's still one of your best hitters for as bad as he's looked. Who's hitting home runs?
I mean, this is what I'm saying here.
Like, who's hitting home runs?
Well, the pitching staff, and I hear him on that, like you always want more pitching. That's really hasn't been the problem for most of the season. The problem is now is that the pitching staff is so mentally shot because they know if they give up one or two runs, they might lose the game. That's where they're at right now. If I give up one or two runs, we're going to lose the game. So what does that do? Is when I'm a pitcher, Joe, I start getting in my own head.
Oh,
I start pressing more, and there's going to be a lot of live contact. You saw that yesterday with Justin Verlander, who calmed down eventually. And I do think there's something to be said, kind of like when we were talking about Verlander going up against the Guardians a couple weeks ago. The guy, like most of his starts were in the AL Central against those teams. And I get it. He didn't pitch against any of those players in his prime when he was a Tiger. There's something to be said about when you pitch against a certain team.
No doubt.
Where something happens. So
it's like Steph against the Blazers.
And I'd be willing to argue this, or bet, if I'm a betting man, is Verlander scheduled to start against the A's this upcoming weekend? I think how it shakes out.
I don't even know. I
think he probably would, right?
I think Friday night, actually.
Right? I think he might shove against them. Because
he
you
should
know
have four or five wins.
There's something to be said about when you own a certain team, you own a certain team. And he's had his number against the White Sox for more often than not. And he has a number against them yesterday. Early on, he didn't. But I'd argue, Joe, to Leroy's point, as we're wrapping this thing up here, who's out there right now that you can go get? Every team wants an ace. Who's the ace out there you're getting?
There's just not enough.
There's not a disgruntled ace out there that's saying, that's pitching well, mind you, that says, oh, yeah, I want to get force my way out of here. There's just not that guy.
Every team is looking for at minimum one or two starters.
There you go.
All right, and now here's the thing that I'm baffled by. The AL Central, the Giants went 0-3 against Detroit, 1-2 against Cleveland, 0-3 against Minnesota, 1-2 versus Kansas City, and 1-2 versus the Chicago White Sox.
I would rather be the White Sox. Real quick on
how is that even possible?
Well, the AL Central is kind of
you got swept by the Tigers in Minnesota and basically won three other games in the other nine matchups.
Like the Guardians, Twins, Royals, I think are closer to a team like the Giants than let's say like the White Sox, who are obviously one of, if not the worst team in baseball outside of the Rockies.
Joe, they were one of the worst teams in the history of baseball last year.
They were
literally the history of baseball.
Oh, you don't have to tell me, brother. I told you don't lose the White Sox on Friday. I kept telling you. Don't lose to this team
when
because
they lost
the panic meter's coming out.
They lost one. That was the first. I saw a stat, and I don't know if this is confirmed. That was their first shutout win of the year.
Oh, my God. Is that true?
I saw another one. They're like,
oh, my God.
The White Sox are like 5-25 in one-run games.
Five?
I would rather be the White Sox.
Oh, my God.
You know, Ponte was right all along.
Oh, my
He'd
God.
Rather be
Ponte
the White
did
Sox.
Have a point.
Ponte did have a
I'd
point.
I'd rather be the White Sox.
Oh, by the way, do you think Ponte was at the Jeff Bezos wedding over the weekend? All the celebrities were there. The Sydney Sweeneys, the Leonardo DiCaprios, right? Ponte might have been there with
him. Does the king go to a peasant's wedding? I don't know about that.
Well, the king goes.
Ponte's very benevolent that way.
Well, let's keep it a buck. Jeff Bezos is the emperor in this regard.
Like, that's
there's
true.
Kings, and then there's emperors, and then there's lizard people. That is Jeff Bezos right there at the top of the food chain.
Although I think that the woman that he married has had a complete, like, there is something about, I watch these Housewives with my wife and some of these
ones?
Other shows.
Yeah.
When you do too much work to your face, you start looking more and more like a fish. And you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the Botox,
Bezos'
the
wife
fillers.
Looked good a couple years ago. I don't know. She's done so much work to her face. She like looks like a fish.
Well,
I don't know how to describe it.
You know what the talk of the town is coming out of that wedding, right?
What's the talk of the town?
Tom Brady dancing with Sydney Sweeney till 2 in the morning.
Stop!
Tom did? TB12 method, brother.
The goat strikes again.
I mean,
I get older, they stay the same age,
that's,
Tom Brady.
No, let's relax on that one.
Days of Confused, all time line.
There is a 20-year gap between the two, Sydney Sweeney and Tom Brady. Hey, just saying, brother's collecting Infinity Stones like he's Thanos out here.
Oh,
I think
no.
He was looking to
if
Kim Kardashian
he, wait
at one
a minute,
point,
if he gets with Sydney Sweeney, is that true?
He danced with her at the
Did
wedding.
He kiss her?
According to reports.
You think Tom Brady's not closing the deal?
I mean,
greatest 2-minute performer in the history of the game, Joe Montana notwithstanding.
Well, I don't know if you want to, in that certain field, if that's what we're talking about, be a 2-minute performer. But
he's efficient.
Richie in Queens.
He's no Marcus in Richmond.
But is he a Richie in Queens when it comes to the dominance of his calls?
Richie, my head was going to explode over the weekend. The situational hitting, oh my God. I don't even know what to say.
How you doing, Rich? How you feeling, man?
You know what? In the famous words of Michael Ray Richardson, the ship be sinking and the sky is the limit. And let me tell you, what's happening with this team, you mentioned Brett